the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Now, if you're listening to me right now, chances are that you're an Irish person listening here in Brighton and Hove. Or maybe you're here in Britain, having moved over for a better life, or a better income, or just better opportunities. Or you may be an Irish person listening to this in Australia, Canada, the States, or maybe further afield. And again, you may find yourself there because you wanted to change something for the better in your life. And it's that situation and that lifestyle choice that this show has at its heart. That's the reality for many in the Irish community, not only here in Brighton and Hove, but around the world. And that's why this week's guest is on the show. He moved from Dublin to London 5 years ago to pursue a dream, to do that one thing that he hoped would improve his life. And now 5 years later, he is an Oscar-winning filmmaker. He has sealed his name in Irish filmmaking history. His name will sit alongside the likes of Peter O'Toole, George Bernard Shaw, Neil Jordan and Brenda Fricker. He did what he had to do and he achieved all that he could. On the phone with me right now is Oscar winner Benjamin Cleary. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having us on.
Good, I'm not bad. Have you updated your business card yet?
Yeah, I'll have to get around to that.
You still haven't done it yet?
No, I haven't. I'm not much of a cards man, actually. I didn't have any going out there and still don't, but I suppose I'll have to try and get that sorted, maybe.
Yeah, you have to kind of get around to LinkedIn and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So has it actually sunk in yet?
It's weird. I was talking to a mate there and he's asking about it and I was kind of saying, I don't think it has. I don't know if it ever will in the way. It's still just quite a surreal thing. I still have sort of members of the cast and crew sort of like sending me texts saying, you know, just these mad texts like randomly going like, did this actually happen? You know what I mean? So it's, I think we're all just, you know, it's just far surpassed any of our expectations. So yeah. We're all still kind of in mild shock, I think.
It's kind of, it's the stuff of childhood dreams, really, isn't it? You kind of, you dream about it as a kid and yeah. you went and did it. You did it.
I know. Yeah, no, it is. It exactly. It's kind of, I suppose it's just, you know, it wasn't even a real dream. You know what I mean? You kind of, it's so far out of your remit that you barely even really dream of it. You know what I mean? So I think that's maybe why it's so hard just to properly sink in.
And where is it right now? Where have you kept it?
The actual Oscar, it's in my folks' house.
Okay.
They've got it in theirs.
And do the Academy, do they offer like Oscar insurance? You have to like buy a particular insurance in case it gets lost or something.
I don't know, actually. You know, there was no mention of it, like, but hopefully it's safe there.
Yeah, you should look into that. Now, the short film that you won the prize for, your first ever piece as a director, that's insane. How would you describe the story of the short itself? What's it about?
It's called Stutterer. It's about a guy with a sort of fairly severe speech impediment, but we get to, and he doesn't really speak to anyone, but we get to hear his inner thoughts through voiceover, and you know, he's got this eloquent, sort of charming inner voice. And he sort of, his one window to the outside world is an online relationship that he has with a girl that's been going on for about 6 months. And early on in the film, she sort of gets in touch out of the blue or with a surprise message and sort of says, you know, would he like to go and you know, she's come all the way to London. Would he like to go and meet her in person for the first time? So that's kind of the setup, and I won't give away the ins and outs of the rest of it.
Yeah, I have seen it, and there is it doesn't quite go the way you think it'll go. I'll be honest.
Right, that's good to hear.
But it's one of those things, though. After I saw it, I was like, oh, and you kind of you think back about it, and I was debating it with friends and stuff. What gave you the idea for the short? What gave you the idea for the story?
Well, I saw something online one day. A gentleman was talking about his own stutter, and you know, he'd sort of gotten to the point where he could face to face. He was more or less able to communicate with you know the stutter quite imperceptible. But as soon as he got on the phone, it would just come back, and he found phone calls incredibly different. I think just because, you know, his sort of, it was just his voice on show, if you will. So I just found this quite touching and moving, and you know, I sort of started thinking about what it might be like to navigate through life with something like this. And you know, growing up, I had a friend who had a pretty bad stutter, and I think All those things kind of combined to give me the idea to explore a character like this, you know.
Yeah, and what kind of, how long did it take to get it made then? Was it quite a tough idea to sell?
Well, I think, you know, I had two producers, Serena Armitage and Jan Christopher Ogilvie, who were mates of mine as well, and they really liked it from day one, and you know, it was just, I self-financed it. With a few grand, and we just all chipped in, and so yeah, it was really tough to make it, but we all into the idea from day one, so you know, we were luckily able to convince some people to come on board, amazing people really, to come on board and make it with us.
Now, you'd done some screenwriting before that and you'd won prizes as well. How different was it kind of being in the director chair?
Yeah, I mean, it's another aspect of it. Like, I don't see a massive sort of distinction between screenwriting and directing in a certain way. Like, it seems like an extension of the same thing. Mm. The script being the blueprint, and you're thinking about all of the elements of directing when you're writing the script. There's obviously a load of you know, extra stuff that comes with it, but I suppose a lot of it's down to planning and things like that, and you know, people skills and you know, being able to think on the spot. Like, so, you know, I think it was a challenge, but I really, really enjoyed it, and you know, I'm looking forward to doing it again.
What kind of sparked your interest in filmmaking then? It's kind of because you grew up in Dublin, didn't you?
Yeah, I grew up in Dublin. Yeah, and it was, I mean, just from a very early age, getting sat in front of the TV watching all the Disney films, you know, just putting in the tape, watching it, just rewinding the tape and watching it again, you know, we were absolute fanatics, like me and my little brother, from when we were like really, really young. So I think that was the start of it. And then from there, I was always writing stories and things growing up. So yeah, it's just always been something I've gravitated towards, I think.
Okay. And had you like studied it in college or university then? Or how did you get into it?
I did a screenwriting master's about 4 or 5 years ago in the London Film School. That's why I moved over to London originally. And I did purposely did the kind of screenwriting master's to go at it that way, because I felt like if I tackled the sort of whole film narrative side of it before jumping into actually directing and going near a camera, it just felt like the right way to go about it. So that's what I did.
I believe you kind of rented your room out for a while to make money for, was that for the masters or for actually putting films together?
No, yeah, that was for Stutterer. Yeah, we just, I think I had about like nearly $4,000 saved, and I put that into the film, and we just needed, another grand or so, I think, just to push us over the line. So I sublet my room and used the money I was going to put in for rent for the film, and just I had a load of really sound mates who would sort of give us a couch or you know, a spare bed and stuff for a couple of months, so wow. that was great. But yeah, it was worth it in the end, and it was great having mates like that around to help you get over the finishing line, you know.
Well, that's the thing. So it sounds like it was quite an experience even kind of making it then, which probably makes the whole the success of it even better, isn't it? How did it feel being nominated for the Oscar? Where were you when you heard about it being nominated?
We were, it was incredibly, you know, it was an incredible moment. We were down in an editing suite near ITV where my producer works, and me and about five or six of the main crew, and you know, it was announced on a live stream from LA, and Ang Lee and Guillermo del Toro announced it. So it was already quite surreal. And then, you know, when it was announced, it was we all just like flipped out and then headed straight for the pub.
sounds like the only thing to do, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I suppose the weeks after that, then, that must have been a bit kind of insane, was it? Did you do a lot of parties? Or was it business meetings? How quickly did it go?
No parties really. Like, I mean, since it was announced up until, you know, the night of the Oscars, we were barely out, like, because it was just you know, there was a lot of sort of press, and then there was there was great meetings we were getting into, and then we were over in LA for 6 weeks then, and that was because of the time difference and stuff, we'd be getting up at kind of 6:30 and starting doing press between the UK and Ireland and any correspondence we needed to do back home because of the 8-hour difference. And then we would just have kind of meetings and US press then for the rest of the day. So it was, if we thought we were going over for a holiday at all,
it was pretty full on then.
It was full on, yeah. But it was great as well. I mean, at night we'd be able to go out and get a bit of dinner and have a drink and just get an early night. But it was really nice, you know.
Yeah, when you stayed in Hollywood as well, I see you kept it real. You stayed in an Airbnb rather than a hotel. What made you decide to do that?
Well, Airbnb were great to us actually. They gave us they sponsored us and that was part of our bill, like, you know, which was great. And we had a lot of great sponsors. ITV as well gave us some money towards our trip and a few various other people. So it was just like it was great because we just couldn't have afforded it, me and the two producers, you know, so it was great having that support.
Yeah. And the day itself and the night itself, the build up to that, how surreal was that? How did you kind of prepare yourself for it?
Well, I suppose we were asking some people, you know, who'd been there before, what it was like. And, you know, our publicist was telling us, you know, what it was going to be like and stuff. But nothing can really prepare you for I suppose the excitement and then the little bits of nerves and then the kind of just the absolute bonkers nature of kind of just going in and you know, doing the red carpet and going into a place like that. It's pretty amazing. And I think at the end of the day we all really enjoyed it despite some of the nerves, you know.
Yeah, you must have been quite nervous kind of in the lead up to it. How far into the show was your Oscar announced?
We were 17th out of 24, I think it was. So it was a pretty painstaking race. But it was weird though. I was quite nervous on the run up to it, like kind of when we just gotten into the building before we sat down. I was kind of nervous and stuff, and then we sat down and kind of realized, okay, this is like, you know, it's a room. It's a very large room, but it's a room, and there's people, and they're humans, and you know, it's kind of this. You know, it just, okay, it's going to be beamed out to however many million, but you kind of just forget that, and you sit down and you end up watching the show, and you kind of, I don't know, yeah, the nerves sort of just faded a fair bit, and then when we were about to get called out, we were all kind of a bit on edge again, and then it got called out, and as soon as it did, it was just celebrations, and I wasn't really nervous then. I just was happy and sort of. It was just a relief and it was just great, you know.
Did you have a bit of an outer body experience? Or do you remember the actual walk up to the stage and, you know, it being called out and what you said?
Yeah, I do actually. I mean, I saw it there since, so maybe that's colouring my memory. But yeah, no, I do kind of remember the feeling of it. Yeah, it was pretty special. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
I love the old slant at the end. That was a nice touch, I have to say. It was pretty good.
I was glad to get it in, yeah.
It was nice. Well, so you mentioned it was a room full of people, a lot of very famous people though. Did you meet any kind of people that you got starstruck by, we'll say?
Well, I was really, I didn't really approach many people on the night. No, it didn't really feel right to kind of be approaching people. But I did actually go up to Charlie Kaufman to say hello to him and his wife. And then we had a nice little chat, which was great. And I just, you know, he's just someone I really admire, and I think his work is amazing. It's screenwriting and directing, so yeah, that was someone I was really pleased to meet and stuff. And yeah, I met a lot of other people in the night. People were incredibly nice, so it was good.
You must be getting a lot of kind of you said you're kind of meeting people, and I did see as well there was an Irish the Irish Film Board threw something for Irish kind of nominees and actors and writers and stuff over there. You must be getting a lot of connections or built a lot of connections in the back of the nomination even.
Yeah, it's been really nice. You know, it opens a lot of doors and it gets you into some really good meetings. And even just being over in Los Angeles and sort of getting used to what those meetings can be like has been a really, really good learning experience for me and everyone involved with the film. But yeah, it's great. You get to meet a lot of people and hopefully kind of forge some good connections for when you're trying to do a feature or whatever it is down the road, you know.
Yeah, and is that the goal, a feature film?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, that's always been the goal. And you know, I've only really done one short, so I definitely would like to make one or two more maybe before trying to jump into that world. But, you know, I'm going to develop something now as I go.
Yeah, and you're actually working on something at the moment, I believe, are you?
Yeah, I am. And developing at the moment, yeah, which is great. So just going to kind of develop in the background as I'm doing the shorts, you know.
Yeah, and is it difficult getting back into the writing now? Because surely you must still be on a bit of a high after the Oscars.
It's actually really been a nice kind of relief getting back and just hitting the ground running on my next project, which is a test commercial that we're shooting in a month today, I think it is. So it's actually been nice just getting back into the kind of, you know, getting up at 8 and just, you know, at the desk writing by 9 or whatever, and just doing that, you know, it's been great actually.
Yeah, and just one last question. One thing that I've always wanted to know with these big award shows, do you ever get a heads up? Do you ever get a heads up of being nominated?
No, absolutely not. No. We I don't think anyone knows with the Oscars what the crack is. But we have no idea, of course. Sure, right. there's people put money on it in the bookies. A good few mates have made a few quid actually. They're I'm pretty popular at the moment.
Oh really? That's good. Are these the same mates that gave you some couch when you were in London?
Yeah, there's been split up. Yeah, so a little bit of payback.
I love it. Ben, thank you very much for talking to us today. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Auntie. Thanks a million for having us on. You know,
the best of luck with everything. Seriously, best of luck with everything in the future.
Listen, thank you. Thanks very much. Cheers. Nice one.